The next presentation was given by Dr. Mac Roach, who reviewed the combined modality approach to locally advanced prostate cancer.
There are several prospective randomized trials that have demonstrated that hormonal therapy improves the results of radiotherapy, and Anthony talked about some of them. But some of the questions that we're still confronted with include who should receive hormone therapy, and I don't think there's a consensus on this. Is there a biologic interaction between hormone therapy and radiation, in particular external beam radiation? What should we radiate? How long should hormone therapy be used? And as we get more studies, I think this issue has become cloudier and cloudier, but there is some evidence. I'm going to start off with these two cases. I'd like to try to do something different. Here we have two 54-year-old twins. Brother number one is diagnosed with a T3 Gleason 8 with 5 of 12 chorus positive, PSA 24, but otherwise healthy and sexually active. Brother number two has a T2A Gleason 3 plus 4, 5 of 12 chorus positive, PSA 14, and otherwise healthy and sexually active. So one patient clearly has what everyone would agree would be high risk disease. The second brother has disease which probably most people would be considered either intermediate or low high risk disease. So there's some controversy there, but it depends on which classification scheme you use. So we have a number of phase 3 randomized trials that demonstrate that long-term adjuvant hormone therapy prolongs survival. They would include the BOLA study, the ERTC. There's a Swedish study which most people are not familiar with. These are node-positive patients in whom a survival advantage was shown with radiotherapy, but not in node-negative patients. RTOG 8531, which was recently updated, which was hormone therapy for life. RTOG 9202, which was 2 years. And the meta-analysis of RTOG trials, which is really based on the data from 8531 and 8610. This is the updated data from RTOG 8531, which, as you're most familiar with, shows an overall survival advantage in these high-risk patients treated with long-term hormone therapy. This is the data from the meta-analysis of RTOG trials, and this is based on 2,400 patients, analyzing only the high-risk patients from that cohort, demonstrating that the patients with high-grade disease, either T3 Gleason 7s or Gleason 8 to 10s, have a survival advantage with the use of long-term hormone therapy compared to radiotherapy alone or radiotherapy with 4 months of hormone therapy. The patients that were intermediate risk, these are patients that would be T3 Gleason 6, the yellow line, or T1, T2 Gleason 7 showed a survival advantage with the use of short-term hormone therapy that is 4 months. But the green line is radiotherapy alone, and the red line is adjuvant hormone therapy. What can we say about short-term hormone therapy? Well, first of all, there are a number of studies, and the question is there consistent support for neoadjuvant hormone therapy? If justified, how long should neoadjuvant hormone therapy be used? Should adjuvant hormone therapy be added as well? Is there evidence of a sequence-dependent biologic interaction between hormone therapy and radiation? What volume should be irradiated? And should high-risk patients receive neoadjuvant as well? So what about the data? Now, Anthony alluded to a study which is not included in, because these are papers that were published a few months ago at least. There have been 7 randomized trials reported in 6 publications that included patients who received neoadjuvant hormone therapy combined with external beam radiotherapy. And in total, if you take all those studies, there are 17 arms that compared external beam alone in 3 of these studies, neoadjuvant and concurrent in 12 studies, and then plus or minus short-term adjuvant hormone therapy, 5 or long-term in 1. Every study that compared radiotherapy alone versus radiotherapy and neoadjuvant hormone therapy demonstrated a benefit in terms of progression-free survival. One study demonstrated no advantage to using longer-term hormone therapy, that is 3 months versus 8 months. So we don't have evidence that longer-term neoadjuvant is beneficial in terms of biochemical control. And 2 studies demonstrated no benefit to adding concurrent and short-term adjuvant hormone therapy. And this was the Levadier study for 10 months and another study that they did as well. So my conclusions are that patients at intermediate risk of death should receive 3 to 6 months of neoadjuvant and concurrent hormone therapy with pelvic radiotherapy, and such patients are commonly called unfavorable intermediate, or you might even include some patients based on the data that suggests if they have more than 50% of their chorus positive, they may need to be put in this category. If they have 2 or more risk factors, they need to fall into that category. Some favorable high-risk patients may also fall into this category. those patients, for example, who might have a focal Gleason 4+4 but nothing else adverse. In patients with high-risk disease, I believe those patients should receive, again, neoadjuvant hormone therapy followed by adjuvant hormone therapy for 2 years or more. And these are what we call classic high-risk patients. I would also put these T3 Gleason 7s with a lot of positive cores in that category, and then there are other patients who you may also include there as well.